often we forget that every time in life, we just don't go to the Word once in a while. We should go to it all the while. What a great time of year. Amen. I love Christmas season. I love God. That's kind of what it's all about. I was glad over and over again in years past that God decided that He would send His only begotten Son to come die for us so that we could live. Not live according to the world, but live according to the gospel. Amen. What a wonderful thing. And I'm thankful for God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm tempted not to do this morning because one of my sisters texted me and told me last week, she said, put down the joke book. Who said amen? Charles, slap him. And so I did put down the joke book, but I printed them off on a piece of sheet. Just a few. I'm not going to do a lot of these because they're all so wonderful. I just hate to waste them all at one time. But I figure you needed to listen to some Christmas ones. Why was Santa's little helper depressed? Because he had very low elf esteem. Come on, you guys. You're helping me have poor elf esteem. What do you call a kid who doesn't believe in Santa? A rebel without a clause. What did Frosty ask? Why did Frosty ask for a divorce? His wife was a total flake. What's Santa's favorite snack food? Crisp Pringles. These are so dumb, you gotta like them. I did, I went through these quickly, so I only got three more. Everybody count them down. What's Santa's favorite candy? Jolly Ranchers. What do you call a snowman that can walk? Snowmobile. Oh, no, this is pretty bad, but that's why I like it. What do you call a frog hanging from the ceiling? A mistletoad. Hey, gosh. That's why I get paid the big bucks. Maybe that's why I don't get paid the big bucks. Anyhow, not to mention any names, but her initials are Vivian. I'm sure. See, I think the problem with my sister is she feels guilty because she laughs at those stupid jokes. I was just kind of impressed the Lord. I'm going to read Psalm 91 again. It has nothing to do with the message, but it has something to do, everything to do with exhorting you to continue on. In a day and age where it seems like we're being challenged at every turn whether or not we want to live a life for God. And sometimes we so often choose the easy pathway. You know, following God's not always the easy pathway, but it is the right one. And it's the one that God will energize you to walk in. And so when you begin to live His way, you begin to live energized by God. And that's why often we forget that every time in life, we just don't go to the Word once in a while. We should go to it all the while that we're alive here on this side of heaven. And we know that we'll live in the very presence of the Word in heaven, Jesus. And He came so that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. But Psalms 91 is just, to me, it just expresses the Father's heart towards us. And it never changes. Just like when we started reading this scripture on a regular basis way back when in the spring of 2020. It just seemed like it just so fit, and it still fits today. and we need to be reminded of it on a regular basis. Can you say amen? But I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, so just listen as you go on, as I go along. When you abide under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me. The only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. And he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night. You shall never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil be launched against you. Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You believe that? You just got to stay close to God. Stay abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment. For they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? Now remember, when we're reading a book of Psalms, it's being written by others who are taken from the Spirit of God and are penning it. But it comes directly from the Spirit of God. This is God saying this. This is not a psalmist. This is God. Psalmist is just repeating what God said. And he said, how then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. Everybody say, thank God for my angel. Some of you need more than one. You probably got it. But anyhow, you know, one angel by himself killed 800,000 troops. So the angels, they're not just little chubby bottom cherubims flying around shooting little Cupid arrows. Amen. Boy, those kind of pictures of angels just make me mad. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you, the angels, and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me, because you love me. Delighted in me and have been loyal to my name, I will greatly protect you. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray and you will feel my presence in your time of trouble. I will deliver you and bring you honor. I will satisfy you with a full life and with all that I do for you. For you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. How much of it will we enjoy? The fullness of it. Not just part of it. The fullness of it. Amen. So why wouldn't you want to serve God? Why wouldn't you want to live for God? And so anytime you get under attack and circumstances say differently, then you know what the Word of God says, that your God is your deliverer and he is your rescuer. And I want you to understand that today is no different than it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. Typically, I will do a series during Christmas season. I'll do a thematic series and I'm going to kind of do that this year, but I'm going to be in and out so little. I'll be here quite a bit. Actually, I'll be here this Sunday today and I'm here. And Brandon's going to be ministering next Sunday. And then after that, on the 19th, I'll be back and I'll minister. But I'm going to minister at least two, probably three messages on the title, Born to Die. And it's not a new title that I've come up with. I've seen it in other posted sermons, blogs, whatever the case may be. But God had put that on my heart before I even had seen any of those. And I do believe that what the Lord wants to do with this particular series for us is he wants us to see Christmas as more than just a babe in a manger. He wants us to see Christmas as God coming and taking upon himself human form. I like the second song choice, Madison, by the way. It goes along with my message today. But he took upon in his frame, he took upon our frame and chose to live in it, created our frame to live in. In other words, God himself decided to come down and live in us. Unreal. And Jesus being born to die, it was more than, I'm grateful and thrilled about Christmas. I love Christmas. But so many times we leave him in the cradle, in the crib, if you will. But he was raised up as a man, a sacrificial lamb, to die on the cross for you and for me. And that's where we make our determination whether or not we want to serve God or we want to serve this world. It's at the cross where Jesus made a decision, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And so he, by example, showed you and me that it's not my will or your will, but it's his. And we come to the cross to get that. And you know, everybody said everything can be found at the foot of the cross. Typically, is you can choose to go God's way at the foot of the cross, or you can choose to go your way. The cross is a real difference maker for a lot of people. Most of us sitting in here today, it was a difference maker for us. I remember accepting Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior in the spring of 1973 and March of 1973. And I can tell you that my life was changed forever. And I had a choice just like everybody else does. You have a choice, either accept it or reject it. And we, bless God, want to receive all that he has for us. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we thank you today that your life flows here today, that your revelation knowledge, Lord, and it's not our will that needs to be done, it's yours. Father, what you want to have done here today is yours to do. And, God, we will yield ourselves to you as best we know how. Lord, help us to really fully understand, really, really fully understand that apart from you, we can do nothing. No miracles can happen. No manifestations of your spirit can happen apart from you. All we are those vessels that you choose to flow through, and help us to be those vessels. Help me to be that vessel. Help me to be that mouthpiece that speaks not what I want to say, but what you want me to say. Today we choose, Lord, to hear your voice. And we choose not to follow the voice of a stranger. We choose to follow the word of life, the word of eternal life. And we thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we give you praise. In that name which is above every name, the name Jesus, and all the agreement that said. There's much said in the Bible about Jesus in the Old Testament, the prophetic words that had gone forth, and just simply talked about there coming a Messiah that would come and live and die for our sins. And then it's also verified in the New Testament as well. Jesus came to die for the sins of many. And there would be many that would receive and many that would reject. And so it's something that up until that moment when Jesus gave himself, there really was no choice that could be made other than you begin to believe in the hope of tomorrow. But when Jesus came and paid the price, when he literally took up on the frailty of human form, if you will, the frailty of human form, I don't know about you, but the idea of leaving his majesty in heaven to come and live in this earthly vessel is still amazing to me. But he was willing to pay the price. And he knew, as the Father did, that there would be no sacrifice that would suffice unless it was the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. And he knew when he left heaven to come to be in a little human baby that he was going to one day give his life for all. And he did it gladly. Amen. So Christmas is about, yes, the babe being born, but it's also about God's willingness, his love to come into our lives so he could literally relate to us. He came down here so that we could go there. Amen. Are you ready? We're going to begin reading here in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. And it started in verse 6. It says, when they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary went into labor, and there she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped the newborn baby in strips of cloth, and Mary and Joseph laid him in a feeding trough, since there was no available space in any upper room in the village. That night, in a field near Bethlehem, shepherds were watching over their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God, and the shepherds were terrified. But the angel reassured them, saying, don't be afraid, for I've come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. And it is for everyone, everywhere. Let me just stop there and ask you a question. Who's it for? Where? Not just a select few. God sent his son for everyone, everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miraculous sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in the feeding trough. Then all at once in the night sky, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven. And they all praise God, singing, glory to God in the highest realms of heaven. For there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men. When the choir of angels disappeared and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. Let's hurry and find this word. And I love what this word means from the Greek. It means rhema. We've heard a little bit about rhema. I went to Bible school called rhema. And it had to do with the spoken word, but it's more than just the spoken word. It's the spoken word realized. But it's said first before it's realized. There are things throughout the Bible, Old Testament, where God spoke things and they came to pass later on. Words spoken, words manifest. Hallelujah. So find this word who is born and speaks of it as a who. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Find this word who is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us. So they hurried off and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a feeding trough. Everyone who heard the shepherds, and we jump on over to verse 18, everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told. It's kind of unique, and theologians, historians probably have somewhat agreed to a greater extent that the particular shepherds were tending the flocks that were raising sheep to be used in temple sacrifice. So they understood that the lambs that they were preparing, the lambs that they were raising, were lambs that were to be lambs without spot or wrinkle. And they were even watched over when the lambs would begin to give birth, the sheep would begin to give birth to the little baby lambs. They would go out immediately and take those lambs into a part of a facility that they call the watchtower. And they would wrap those sheep in swaddling strips of cloth so that they wouldn't get injured, so that they'd remain perfect. They would take incredible good care of them. They'd leave them not in just any hay, but they'd find the softest hay possible so it would not mar the sheep in any way. In other words, they understood that there was coming a Messiah who would be the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So this particular group of shepherds, they were picked by God because of what they were doing. I believe that's probably true. I believe it's really true. And I believe that God wanted these men there because they were tending the flock. And when they were sheep, they over and over again, they were seeing how they would tend. And they also knew the prophecy about this will be a miraculous sign to you that when that baby comes, he will be wrapped in swaddling clothes or strips of cloth like they do the sheep, the little lambs born. So it's not an accident that these particular shepherds, because there were shepherds all over around Bethlehem. Wasn't just this one girl, but for whatever reason. You know, that's why a lot of times you and I should say, God, choose us. Let your light shine on us. If you're looking for somebody to stop and bless, I'll do it, and I'll share it with whosoever will get in my way with the need of God in their life. Not just any shepherds, but these shepherds got to witness God's promise realized. And they were pretty excited. So their particular hearts were ready, and that's why it was even, let's go see what God has done. Let's go see this word that has manifest. God said it years ago, hundreds of years ago, and now we get to see it actually manifest. Brothers and sisters, that's why it's important that we say about our lives what God says about them. It may not be that we're there right now, but if you speak that word out, God says this about us. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus when we come into the kingdom of God. We're not sinners saved by grace. We are sinners saved by grace, but we're no longer sinners again. Everybody says, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you were a sinner, but now you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God came and died in the form of a human being, took upon himself flesh and dwelt among us in the form of Jesus Christ. And he gave his life so that we could be free from the influence of sin. And that sin has come to steal, kill, and destroy the godly life in us. And we sometimes think we have to bow our knee to the enemy because he has power here. He has only the power that you and I give him. We are here to enforce the word of God. We are here to enforce the will of God. When we come into the kingdom of God, praise God, we've been given authority and power over all the power of the enemy. Over all the power of the enemy. In Kansas even, I know in Texas all means all, but it even means all in Kansas. Over all the power of the enemy, but we think, well, the enemy just has his way. No, the enemy has no way unless we give it to him. Amen. And then the scripture that I wanted to... Well, there's several scriptures I want that jump out. And I've ministered a whole series on this particular scripture years ago, Luke 2:11. But here and again in the Passion Translation, it's saying, for today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miraculous sign, and you will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in the feeding trough. For King James says it, New King James, for to you today a Savior is born. In the city of David, in the city of Bethlehem, which is also called the city of David. And it's kind of interesting because the city of David, alludes to the fact that that's the city where mighty warriors are raised up. David being one of them, maybe one of the most mighty warriors next to the Lord while on earth. And so that's why when the Messiah came, everybody was expecting him to do as David did. He's going to come with a sword, but they didn't realize he's going to come with the sword of the word, which is even more powerful. See, we think that the sword, steel sword, that cuts both ways is a powerful weapon. Well, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to divide asunder between the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And is a discerner of the thought and the intent of our hearts. So the word of God comes and it's mightier than anything man can provide. And so it's not an accident that Jesus was born in this very area. It was prophesied. I go back, and I don't want to bore you with facts, but statistics show it. If you go back and find out, what are the odds of Jesus really literally ending up being born in Bethlehem? It is hard to figure. It is such a large number. It's 1 in 10 to, I don't know, 10,000 zeros. It's amazing. 1 in 10. And the prophecies of Jesus being born and things happening over a period of time, it's just astronomically or numerically impossible. But with God. And people think that just happened by accident. I think sometimes people can be stupid. And there are people who just want to defy God for whatever reason. They're being deceived by the enemy. And I'm trying to be nicer to stupid people because I once was one. But why would you want to choose to just remain stupid and remain ignorant? When your stupidity could take you to hell. I want to appear wise. And, you know, I personally, Pastor West, I just take a little bit about every religion. Well, you're going to have spiritual diarrhea. Somebody's going to be cleaning up your mess. Because there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And I hear people all the time say, well, I just want to study. Now, if you're called to a people, you need to find out why they believe what they believe. I understand that. But for you just to take on, you know, you need to spend time in the Word of God. You don't have time to figure out a lot of other religions. Matter of fact, when the Word of God, Jesus Christ himself, has come to give us life, we want to learn more about what he's given us, and that'll take care. And just your life will demonstrate to them that you have more power than they do. Amen. Glory to God. So anyhow, God sent us a Savior today to you. There's a Savior being provided every day of our life. There was a rescuer born for you. His name is Yahweh the Messiah. Can you say amen? The shepherds literally wanted to hurry and get there. Let's see the word, this thing that's been said by God. The Amplified says it like this. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing, the saying that has come to pass. Isn't that interesting? See this thing, the saying that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and by searching found Mary. Sometimes you have to search. Amen. Sometimes you have to search. The Lord has made known to them, so they went in haste and by searching found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And the Lord said this long before it was manifested in this particular fashion. And he said it to a lot of people. One of those people was a man by the name of Simeon. And he had heard from God, and the Spirit of God had revealed to him. And this is out of Luke chapter 2, verse 26 through 35. I read you a lot of scripture, but how many of you know scripture is good? Again, out of the Passion Translation, for the Holy Spirit revealed to him, you want the Holy Spirit active in your life. Pastor, I don't know how to speak in tongues. Nobody knows how to speak in tongues. It's not something you do naturally. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural thing. But it comes up out of your spirit, man. It doesn't come out of your head. Amen. Sometimes what comes up out of your spirit, man, are things God takes care of the stupidity that's in your head. Amen. You're not called to be dumb for Jesus. You're not. You're called to live in the wisdom of God. And the Spirit of God will raise and draw that up out of you on a regular basis. Amen. And it will help you. So the Holy Spirit revealed to him, Simeon, that he would not see death before he saw the Messiah, the anointed one of God. Keeping his promise, the Holy Spirit led Simeon to be in the temple court at the very moment Jesus' parents entered to fulfill the requirements of the sacrifice. Simeon cradled the baby in his arms and praised God and prophesied, Lord and Master, I am your loving servant and now I can die content. For you have fulfilled your promise to me. With my own eyes I have seen, listen to what he calls him, with my own eyes I have seen your word, the Savior, and you that you sent into the world. He will be glory for your people Israel and the revelation light for all people everywhere. Mary and Joseph stood there, awestruck over what was being said about their baby. Simeon then blessed them and prophesied over Mary, saying, a painful sword will one day pierce your inner being. For your child will be rejected by many in Israel, and the destiny of your child is this. He will be laid down on a cross, as a miracle sign for the downfall and resurrection of many in Israel. Many will oppose this sign, but it will expose all to the innermost thoughts of their hearts before God. Isn't that interesting? So Mary literally was told by Simeon that this little baby that had been birthed to her would one day be the lamb sacrificed for her. Bible said Mary took those thoughts and pondered on them. Wow. This very one that was born would one day, the stuff that is going to happen to him is going to pierce your soul. And we all can think this way. We have all been appointed to once to die. But then comes the judgment. Should Jesus tarry, we're all going to die physically. It's appointed unto man once to die. But Jesus showed us that your physical person could die and then you could live forever because the real you is a spirit person that's been born again. Can you say amen? So this Holy Spirit that we talk about, he's the one that orchestrated all these prophetic words that began to be said back, clear as far back into the book of Genesis. Began to orchestrate all those things coming to pass. That this Messiah, the anointed one of God, that God was keeping his promise to led, and he led, literally led Simeon the day that Mary and Joseph took the baby in to offer sacrifice for that baby. Firstborn you go in and offer, the firstborn son especially. So we are offered the greatest gift ever given. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's no greater gift you could ever receive. And when you make the decision to accept Jesus Christ, you're accepting God's gift and you're saying, God, help me unwrap this gift so I get the full benefit of what's represented here. I don't want to miss out on anything that Jesus, the Messiah, Yahweh in the flesh has done for me. Amen. Merry Christmas. It's more than just a baby in a cradle. I'm glad for that. That was the prophetic word being manifest. But he was not born to stay in that cradle. He was born to grow up, lived a short 33 years of life on this earth. God has graciously given me 40 more years than that, soon to be 40 more years. And I'm believing God for at least 20, 25 more years so I can stay around and live off my kids' money. Leave their lights on. Not call them when I'm out on a late date and tell them where I am. You gonna be dating, Pastor? No, I'm married. I'll date my wife. She's a lot of fun. That's why I married a younger woman, because I need somebody to keep up with me. Oh, Wesley. See, this is, I think we all, if we listen to God on a regular basis, I think we all do get wiser as we grow in the things of God. But so many times, what I'm about to say doesn't mean I don't want what you need to happen in your life, but I want you to understand there is an order in how you receive that, especially if you're a born-again believer. But sometimes people say, you know, I need to be healed, Pastor Wes. Well, you need to know the healer really well. Because you just get in good contact, close contact with him, and that healing just begins to happen naturally in a lot of ways. You'd be surprised. Your intimacy with Jesus really brings things. Well, Pastor, if I could just get some extra money. Well, Jesus is the one who died, took upon himself our poverty so we could take upon him, ourselves, his prosperity. If we just get to know him more intimately. See, in every situation, I've told my children this growing up and even my grandkids probably more than my children, but I said, you don't have any problems. All you need is Jesus. You need a closer walk with Jesus. If I could just get healed, I know a lot of people that I prayed for that gotten healed are not serving God. That doesn't mean nothing. What means everything is that they come to the Lord. Well, I always feel like the Lord's trying to change me. Well, we're being changed line upon line, precept upon precept. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't there yet. But bless the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on your way. Amen. You are on your way. So most of us have needs that seem impossible to meet, and we think, how in the world are they going to be met? They've already been met in Christ. So you just need to know what he's provided for you in his death, resurrection, and being raised up into the very presence of God, seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says that we've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are right now. We start from the position of victory in our life every day. The Bible says God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. Well, guess who his riches and glory is? Jesus. Amen. You need healing? Jesus is your healer. You need provision? He is your full supply. You need peace? He just happens to be called the Prince of Peace. You need finances? He became poor that we might be made rich. You need eternal security? He's our pathway to eternity with God, because no man comes to the Father except through Him. See, what we need is what Jesus provided on the cross. And I know, I don't like seeing crosses with Jesus still on them. Is He not there anymore? He was there once is enough. Why should we keep Him pinned up? Nailed up. Just a thought of mine. No man comes unto the Father except through Jesus Christ. Now, listen to this. This is pretty good. Philippians 2:8 kind of sums up what I've been talking about. And being found in fashion as a man, He, God, humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, which was Jesus Christ. Jesus and God are one and the same. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The most despicable way a person could die, He chose for Himself. He knew that the cross was in His future. And He knew what it meant. That's why in the time, the night before the day He was going to be crucified, He asked the Father, said, Lord, if it be possible, could this cup pass from Me? And then He went on to say something pretty incredible. It gives us by example how we're to live. He said, yet not My will, but Yours be done. Christmas is about the will of God being done for you and for me. God sent the babe that He might grow up and sent Him in like fashion as we all are born into this earth. So did He come and was birthed into this earth by Mary. And Mary was told, this very one that's birthed through you, many, praise God, are going to be saved. But it's going to pierce your soul. Because you're going to see something happen to your son that you never dreamed would happen to. Any parent would never want to happen to their son. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Every Christmas we meditate on the birth of Christ, but His purpose was for coming. He came that we might have life. He came that we might be free from sin. That baby that we celebrate, and we have, I don't know how many nativity sets we have. Sandy loved nativity. She never saw a nativity set she didn't like. And we have a bunch of them. And it was real easy buying Christmas presents for her. Let's see, what does she want? How about a nativity set? And we've got some pretty cool ones. When we put them out, it takes a whole wall of shelves to put them all out. And then if she had lived any longer, we'd have to build a bigger house just to hold the nativity. Matter of fact, if we had built a new house, I would have built it to be a nativity scene. Probably not. He was born to die on the cross so that you and I could be reconciled to God. So when you tell your kids about Christmas, and I love a Christmas tree. We had people leave church when they come to visit us, and they got out in the foyer, and I think Vicky, you probably remember that moment, but they said they left their church because their church had a Christmas tree up on the platform, and Vicky graciously told them, so, well, we got one on ours, and our pastor's a heathen just like yours, and she didn't say that. So they turned around and left because we had a Christmas tree. And if they ever just, that's legalism at its highest. Because this represents an evergreen tree, which to me represents everlasting life. And the lights that we wrap around the tree represents Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And the gifts that we put under the tree represent the gift of Jesus Christ. So in our house, we celebrate Christmas. And I know some people get mad at this, and we really like Santa Claus. the Santa Claus we believe in prays before Jesus. Over in Europe, they call him Saint Nick. Amen. See, a lot of people are a rebel without a clause. And then, I knew I had to work that in. So, when it says that he was found in fashion, that word fashion is an interesting word because back in the days when people wrote, it literally meant, and it referred to kings who would take off their kingly garments and trade them for beggars' garments and go out into the community for a short time. And we all hear those and see those stories of sometimes a prince or a king tired of being in all that lush surrounding, and so they just dress like the commoners and go out and just hang out with them and say, it's pretty cool. And then they realize that I don't have near as much money now, so maybe I'll go back to my king. But the story of Jesus was literally that. He took up all his kingly garments in heaven and came down and took up on himself the frailty of human flesh so he could hang out with us and then one day die for us. I don't know about you, but I'm thrilled he did. I'm on my way to heaven shouting victory. Because I know Jesus. Christmas is that time of year that we ought to be excited. So Jesus, thank God, did change his kingly garments for our human flesh. God doing that through and by his son Jesus, who thought about things one and the same alike. God doing that just shows how much he loves you and me. He did that so he can be with us forever. That's a good Christmas story. Amen. The Bible said Jesus became obedient even unto death, and even the death of the cross. There might have been a better way for a king of kings and Lord of lords to die. Not the cross. He picked the most despicable way that was prophesied. You know, he was prophesied to die on a cross before they even started executing people by the cross. The cross kind of death had not even been. It was like 700 years later after the prophecy of him dying on a cross that they began to execute people on crosses. Isn't it amazing? The most horrible way for a human being to die is on a cross. I'm glad he went there for me. Because when he died on the cross, we were nailed on it with him. Don't understand that fully, but I thank God that we were. The nails that were driven and were driven through our hands just like they was his. Like they were his. Nails driven through his feet. It's like we were nailed together with him. We went through death with him. We went down into hell with him. And we were raised up into God's heavenly places with him. We've been made to sit in heavenly places in and through Christ Jesus. The fact that Jesus had to become obedient to me tells me that what he was getting ready to do was not going to be a pleasurable moment. It's easy to do stuff you like. But it's really difficult to do stuff you hate with every fiber of your being. And yet the Father says, this is the way. Amen. So I think this, if Jesus was willing to do whatever it took to save mankind, why should we not too be willing to do what it takes to save our brothers and sisters through the knowledge of God's Word? People need to know Jesus. When's the last time you invited a sinner to church? Pastor, I'd invite him, but I'm afraid you're going to get out the joke book. Well, it might make him feel a little more comfortable. I mean, think about why don't we invite more people to church? this time of year is a real, most people are precious. I mean, they're really touched by this season one way or the other. A lot of people go through some real horrible emotional trauma this time of year, every year, for whatever reason. Maybe lost a loved one this time of year, or something happened, bad happened. They got a divorce. I mean, and then they begin to think every Christmas, all it reminds. How about letting Christmas remind you of the one who came and was birthed into earth, raised up, and died for you so that you could have life and life evermore through Jesus. Amen. That's a good way to look at Christmas. Amen. Jesus went through some excruciating pain, heartache. His mother, I cannot imagine the thoughts that were going through his mom, Mary. When she saw her son nailed to the cross and then raised up, cross drops into the ground. And there Jesus is more concerned about his mom, tells one of his disciples, John, see Mary, your mom. Mom, John, your son. Take care of each other. Take care of my mom. Jesus is always thinking about us. Whether you think so or not, you are always on his mind. Whether you think so or not. Somebody would ask you today, ask me today, say, what's God thinking about today? He was thinking about me. He likes me, loves me. So you really believe that? Sure I do. I believe he does. He's got the ability to think about us all at the same time, everywhere, every place. Everyone, every place, everywhere. He's God. He's supernatural. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Can you say amen? So let me just encourage you this way. I don't want you to feel bad that you haven't felt this way, because most of you probably have. But I want you to just kind of help refocus yourself this Christmas. That Christmas is more about than just the babe being born. We celebrate his birth. But it's pointing us, it was pointing him right toward the cross. I like the way we got this set up here. I didn't tell him to set it up this way, but we have the cross right there by the cradle. Everybody knew prophetically that this one that comes, called the Messiah, was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And that becomes, I believe, the cry of all of us. The reason he did come, lay down his life for us, he gave his life a ransom for many. It talks about that in Matthew and Mark both. It says he gave his life for the ransom of many. He paid the price. And he paid a high price. God gave his only begotten son. That's why John 3:16 is so powerful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That scripture becomes more real every day because we've been privy to the everlasting life of God. It lives and abides on the inside of us if you know Jesus Christ. You have been washed by the blood. If you have not been washed by the blood, you do not have access to the throne of God. Because only the blood of Jesus can take you there. Amen. And he's prepared a place for us. Can you say amen? I was talking with my brother Dean before church, and I said, I just talked about, I thanked him for doing certain things. I said, you know, when you get to heaven, you're probably going to have a bigger house than me. And he said, well, why is that? I said, because you just are preparing yourself a big house. He said, well, you're going to have some crowns to cast at the feet of Jesus. You know, every time somebody gets born again, you get a crown, but we're going to cast those to the feet of Jesus. will not take credit for any of that. Amen? I said, well, whoever has the biggest house, we'll just kind of hang out together. And, you know, we may want to hang out with somebody. So I'm with them. Their house is six times bigger than yours. But, you know, in heaven there will be no jealousy, no envy. When I get to heaven, I want to say, listen, I kind of like to, in heaven, I like to be bald like Charles. It's kind of true. You know, white guys just don't look good bald, typically. The black guy goes, mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Just, hey guys, if your skin is light, just say no to bald. Buy yourself a toupee. Got one wife taking exception with me. Some people look good bald. Mike, you look wonderful. Justin, you look great. Whoever else is in the church that might leave and get mad and leave. Amen. Here's the truth. No man comes to the Father except by Jesus. There's no other way to come. So if you've not done that, the simplest way to do it is, Father, I believe that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. And Jesus, I believe you willingly died for my sin, and you shed your blood on my behalf. And that I'm choosing you now, and I'm asking you to come into my life and wash me clean by the blood of the Lamb. Very simple decision, but it changes your life forever. Amen. Not something you want to put off. And every day you want to thank God for the fact that you're born again, that you have life and you have full life in Him. So let's say that together. You may be here today and you've never done that, or you just not need to reaffirm in your own life that you're walking with God. So let's say this together. Heavenly Father, today I honor you. I take you at your word. That your word says, if I believe on the name Jesus, that I will be saved. Jesus, I welcome you into my life. Holy Spirit, baptize me into the body of Christ. That I be one with you and the Father by the Spirit of God. I'm washed clean by the blood. I've been made and renewed. I am a new creature. That's never existed before. I have the life of God flowing through my veins. In Jesus' name. And all agree with that said. Amen and amen. Well, God's a good God. Amen. Now, what we're going to do right now is we're going to receive communion. We're going to receive it thanking God for the fact that He sent His Son. Jesus bore His body. His body was broken for you and for me. Amen. It was marred. He didn't have any bones broken. Not one bone was broken, actually. But His body suffered for us, and then His blood was shed for us. So when you get this that represents the body, hold yours until everybody's served, and then we'll partake of it together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You know that we have scripture that all pastors call to people's attention on a regular basis. And one of them is about coming together on a regular basis out of Hebrews 10:25. But forsake not the gathering together of the brethren, as the manner of some is. But you forsake it not and come together even more often as we see the day approaching of His return. And so there should be an increase. But another scripture that really locks in, I think, the true meaning of coming together, not that Hebrews 10:25 doesn't, but 1 John 1:7 says this, but if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7 is pretty powerful. So literally, if we believe and take God at his word, if we come together and we're fellowshipping with each other, the blood of Jesus, his son, is flowing in that place because we're a body. We're many members that make up one body, and that blood is flowing. And when that blood is flowing, the Bible says that we will be cleansed from all sins and the effect of it. Take heed, the body of Christ. Matthew 26, verse 26 says, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, said, take this and eat, for this is my body. What you just did represented taking the body of Christ literally into you. Now, we do that today by taking in his word. His word is manna from heaven on a regular basis. Amen. Thank God for his bodily sacrifice. Amen. When the cup comes, just go ahead and partake of it. This is the blood that was shed for the remission of sin. The word remission is a very powerful word. It means the doing away with sin past. Amen. So don't go out and sin willingly just to test it. But this blood literally is given to empower you to be free from the effect of sin. And taking it literally confirms the covenant you have with God. It's washed in the blood. Glory to God. How many of you are okay with Born to Die for a Christmas message? Thank you, Lord. The rest of you that didn't raise your hand, stay. We'll go over it one more time. Well, my little great-grandson made it home from the hospital Friday. And I'm going to go over and see him right after church. I kind of jumped the gun last week talking about wanting to dedicate him. So maybe Grandpa would like to do that. I kind of like to be here when it happens. Amen. Like babies. See, the babies that we have are born to grow up and serve God and lay their lives down for him. If we teach them right. Amen. Train a child up in the way they should go, and when they grow old, they will not depart from it. So we train our kids on a regular basis to walk with God, love God, serve God. And I believe hanging out with God just pays big dividends. How about you? Stand with me. Father, I bless each and every household represented here. I know that words mean something. And Lord, I don't want to say something just to be saying it. But I speak grace, peace, and mercy into every household represented here today. And I thank you, Lord, that the joy of the Lord will prevail in homes where there has been none. And it's going to rise up big because the Bible says, your word says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God, I believe we're going to, this Christmas season, we're going to literally experience joy unspeakable.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. Or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.